We've been talking about pursuing holiness this year. And it is certainly true that in a very real sense, there is not anything that you and I can do which on our own will make us holy. We cannot accomplish that victory from ourselves. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 9, beginning at verse 11, it says, "But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" What the Hebrew writer explains is that it takes the sacrifice of Christ for us to be holy. No amount of our striving and our working and our doing can make us holy, purifying us from the sins that we have committed. However, having recognized that, we understand that what Jesus has done in his sacrifice is not set us apart so that we can continue in our impurity and our unholiness. Jesus offered this sacrifice so that we might be holy, and in that we might pursue holiness. In fact, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 7, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 7, Paul there says succinctly and clearly, God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. God has set us apart by the blood of Jesus Christ, not to permit us to continue to sin with wanton abandon, but just take us to heaven in the end. God has set us apart by the blood of Jesus Christ, the holiness of Jesus, so that we might be set free to pursue holiness. As we consider that thought today, I hope that what we can recognize is that this kind of pursuit does not happen on accident. This kind of pursuit only happens with purpose and purposefulness. And because of that, I would like for us to remember a song that we have often sung. A song that is very simple. And it's an old song. It's probably not one of the ones that we sit up and say, "Oh man, this is it." Because we're just so used to it. We've sung it since we were children. But the thing that we need to understand is that if holiness and the pursuit of holiness takes purpose, it takes effort, it takes work, we need to understand that it takes time. And with that in mind, I would like for us this morning just to work through this old song and think about what it reminds us in our pursuit of holiness. That we, having been set apart by the blood of Jesus Christ, need to take time to be holy. Before we look at this, would you bow with me in prayer, please? God and Father in heaven, you are indeed the magnificent creator. You are the Holy One. We love you and we long for you with all our heart, our soul, and our mind. And I pray, Father, that we can say along with the psalmist that we desire nothing in heaven besides you and there is nothing on earth that we want more than you. Help us to grow so that that statement can be true for us as well. We delight in you, Father. And we pray that we can be a delight to you. Help us, who have been set apart by the blood of Christ, not to turn back to our old ways, but to take time to be holy. Help us in our pursuit. We have turned to you because we long for that holiness that allows us fellowship with you. We long for your holiness. And we pray that you strengthen us as a people to stand close together so that none of us can fall down, but that we might together pursue this holiness, lifting one another up, upholding one another's arms, And when we have stumbled, that we might lift one another up and help one another back into your path and in the pursuit of your holiness. Father, be with us this morning that everything we say and do will be about your glory. That we would magnify you above ourselves and above any other gods that we might have. Help us to crush those idols that are in our hearts. Those that we revere and fear more than you. Those that we long for more than you. That you would crush them into powder. Pour them in the river. That they might float away from us. Father, we praise you. And we thank you for your Son Jesus who died so that could be a possibility. We thank you for the hope that we have in him. Thank you, Father, for loving us first. We love you so much. Through your Son who died for us, we pray. Amen. Take time to be holy. If you want to follow along, it's number 731 in the book. However, I will point out, we do have an extra verse that we're going to be covering today that's not in our book. But at 731, take time to be holy. Take time to be holy. Speak off with thy Lord. Abide in him always and feed on his word. Make friends of God's children. Help those who are weak. Forgetting in nothing his blessings to seek. I hope we recognize from this that if we are going to pursue holiness, if we are going to take time to be holy, one of the things that that means is we need to make time to be holy. We need to set aside time to pursue holiness. Obviously, I recognize that holiness is that overarching governing pursuit that governs every single thing that we do. But consider what it says in Galatians chapter 6. In Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. In Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, Paul says this to us. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. If we long for the holiness that comes from the Spirit of God, if we long for that fruit of the Spirit, the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control that comes as the fruit of the Holy Spirit, we must make sure that we are sowing to the Spirit. We've got to be burying and planting the seeds that bear that fruit. Let's face it. If I plant a tomato seed, what am I going to get? Tomatoes. If I plant an apple seed, what am I going to get? This is not hard. Apples. If I plant an okra seed and I get green beans, what went wrong? I didn't plant an okra seed, did I? Whoever labeled that pouch labeled it wrong. Because the fact is, if I plant okra seed, what am I going to get? I don't know why you'd do that, but if that's what you planted, that's what you get. If you get green beans, that means you planted green beans, doesn't it? So the reality is, if I'm getting corruption, what seeds am I planting? I'm planting to the flesh. And so if I want the holiness, if I want the fruit of the Spirit, I've got to be planting those seeds. I've got to be sowing those seeds. And I want us to think in terms of the disciplines, the habits of holiness, the practices that we need to pursue that plant those seeds, that get those things into our heart so that that is what's going to flow out, so that that is the fruit that is going to come. I want us to think in terms of those disciplines and habits that are mentioned here. For instance, the communication with God, abiding in his word, Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 32, here Paul told the Ephesian elders, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. This is not some type of church homework. This word that God has given us is able to build us up and give us the inheritance. We need to sow the seed of this word in our heart. We need to sow the seed of that communication with God in prayer. in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, Paul there tells us, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." We need to make time to pray. We need to make time to get down on our knees and cast our cares before the Father, to make our pleas known, to praise and honor and glorify Him, to confess our unworthiness and our sins to Him. We need to make that time. But there's another thing that we need to recognize: sowing the seeds of holiness. God has put us together in these fellowships for a reason. God has never expected holiness to be a Lone Ranger pursuit. There's a reason why local congregations were established in the New Testament. We need to seek one another. We need to seek the time with one another. There in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11, just up a few verses. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11, "Therefore encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing." Helping those who are among us, encouraging one another and being encouraged. But here's the thing I hope we grasp from this. We could give a litany of little habits and disciplines that we need to pursue, but the thing that we need to recognize is not a single one of these things is going to happen on accident. If we're just waiting for some time to drop in our lap so that we'll spend some time in the Bible, it's not going to happen. If we're just waiting for a few extra moments at the end of the day so that then we can offer prayers to God, if we're just waiting for some extra time during our week so that we can spend time with our brothers and sisters, it's not going to happen. If we want to take time to be holy, brothers and sisters, you know what this means we have to do? We have to make time to be holy. We've got to schedule it. We've got to plan it. We've got to purpose it. Because I guarantee you, if we don't, it's not going to happen. You know, the crazy, odd, funny thing is that because sin is the path of least resistance, it always ends up seeming to be time to do that. But if we want to pursue holiness and sow the seeds for holiness, brothers and sisters, we have to make time to be holy. Let's sing the first verse of this song.
Know me. Take time to be holy.
Time to be holy. The world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. Abiding in Jesus, like Him thou shalt be, thy friends in thy conduct, His likeness shall see. Take time to be holy. We need to understand that if we are going to take time to be holy, if we're going to make time to be holy, we've got to slow down to be holy. Our lives are hectic. We've got things to do every second of every day, especially those who are parents. One thing after another, work, parenting, some with school, assignments, keeping the house clean. They're just things to be done at all times. Frantic, frenzied. And there are some who have talked to me and just said, you know, I don't feel right unless I'm busy doing something. And I appreciate that because I have often the opposite problem. I always think, I just want to rest for a moment, then I'll get to something. So I envy those of you who say, I don't feel right unless I'm working. Because there's some good there. But we need to be careful because that same mindset can hinder our pursuit of holiness. It's often the very same people who've told me, I don't feel right unless I'm busy doing something, that also confess that they have a struggle actually taking the time and making the time for those holiness disciplines we talked about. After all, when there's a job at work that needs to be done, when there's a goal at home that needs to be accomplished, when the dishes are needing done, the children are needed loving, projects are needed tweaking, we recognize that prayer just doesn't seem like doing much. Just sitting there, talking to God, thinking sometimes is all it seems like. Feels like we're not doing much. And for some, especially those who don't like to read all that much anyway, opening up the scripture to read and study, when there's a car that needs to be fixed in the garage, when there's grass that needs to be cut, when there's a leaky faucet somewhere, when there's some work on the job that needs being done, all of that gets pushed aside because we want to be doing something. And it's easy to get distracted by all this busyness and not take time to be holy. Let's look to our master in Luke chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. In Luke chapter 5, verses 15 and 16, it says in verse 15, "But now even more, the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities." All these things to do. There's people that need to be healed. Sicknesses that need to be dealt with. Demon possession that needs to be exercised. There's people that need to be taught. As Jesus continued his ministry, more and more and more of that was pressing and pulling on him. But verse 16, he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. Withdraw. He would slip away. All of this frenzy and harried and hurried life going on, and he would step aside and slip away from the crowds and the masses and the duties and all of those things out there, and he would spend some time to pray. If we're going to take time to be holy, we've got to make time to be holy. And that's only going to happen if we are willing to slow down to be holy. Stepping out of the rat race for a little while. Getting out of the frenzied and frenetic pace. Slowing down. Spending time with God. Pursuing holiness. If you would, sing along with me the second verse.
Know me.
To be holy, let him be thy guide, and run not before him, whatever betide. In joy or in sorrow, still follow thy Lord, and looking to Jesus, still trust in his word. If we're going to take time to be holy, we have to wait to be holy. I don't mean by that wait for later to be holy. I mean we've got to learn to wait on the Lord to be holy. We've got to make sure that we're following in Jesus' footsteps, that we are trusting in Him. In this harried and hurried world that we live in, with all the anxieties and the frantic, frenzied nature of all that we walk through and all that we pursue in this life, sometimes we want to get ahead of what God has revealed and what God has asked of us. We don't understand why God won't go ahead and do these things that He's promised for us, and we get upset. And in those moments, we start to turn away. If we're going to pursue holiness, if we're going to take time to be holy, we've got to wait on the Lord for holiness. In Psalm 37 and verse 1 begins, "Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. For the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord will inherit the land." We see others experiencing blessings that we might like, and we get all upset, and we fret, and we worry, and we wonder. And what the psalmist is telling us is, wait on the Lord. God will bless us with the blessings that we need in His time, so that He can be glorified, and we can be conformed to the image of His Son, so that we can be with Him for all eternity. There's no need to run ahead of God. We can wait for Him. There's no need to go off in our own plans. But rather, we can simply do what God says. Whether times are good, whether times are bad, whether it's going to produce something we think is good, whether it's going to produce something we think is bad, whether we can't understand why God has asked us to do that, wait on Him. He has His plans. And His plans are for His glory and for ours. Trust Him and wait on Him. The sad part about it is that most people today, even among Christians, aren't waiting for the Lord. They're waiting for a sign. They're waiting for circumstances and feelings. And I can't help but think about 1 Samuel chapter 24. In 1 Samuel chapter 24, when David was in the cave, and Saul had come into that cave as well. And notice what his men tell him in 1 Samuel 24 and verse 4. "And the men of David said to him, 'Here is the day of which the Lord said to you, Behold, I'll give your enemy into your hand, and you shall do to him as it shall seem good to you.'" Do you understand what these men are saying? These men are saying, "It's a sign, David. Surely this thing has happened so that you will know you can go ahead and take it in your hand, and you can take his life, and the kingdom will be delivered to you." But David understood, according to verse 6, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my Lord, the Lord's anointed, to put out my hand against him, seeing he is the Lord's anointed." David understood that God's will was not changed by the circumstances or by the seeming signs of what was going on around. So many today, rather than waiting on the Lord, are waiting on their feelings or waiting on the circumstances or waiting on these signs, trying to read the signs instead of just reading His word. We're waiting on the Lord when we read what He has revealed and we simply follow what He has said to us. That's how we need to behave. And we need to trust Him, just like David did. Because you see, in God's good time, what did God do with the kingdom? He gave it to David. In God's good time, He will give us the blessings He has promised. Would you sing this verse with me, please? It's only going to be on the screen. It's not in the songbook. Know me. Take time to be holy. Be calm in thy soul. Each thought and each motive beneath His control. Thus led by His Spirit to fountains of love, thou soon shall be fitted for service above. If we are going to take time to be holy, we must calm down to be holy. We must relax. We must allow the worries and the fretting and the anxiety to subside. As we put all that we are worried about in God's hands and we have our faith in Him that He is going to care for us. In the Sermon on the Mount in the book of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25, Jesus taught this. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to a span of life? Then why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Jesus is, of course, not saying that if you get paid monthly, spend all your money on the first and God will just feed you on the second on His own. He's not saying that we don't take time to plan out God's blessings and use them in wise ways. But what He is saying is that those fears about what am I going to eat tomorrow and what's it going to be like next year and what's it going to be like in retirement, all those fears that we get caught up in that can take us away from holiness. He says, don't spend your time in those fears and those anxieties. Don't allow that stress to so take over that it dominates today. I'll give you a really good reason why you shouldn't. If you spend all of today worried about what you're going to eat tomorrow and you die tonight on the way home from church, what good did your worry do you? I mean, the fact is, this is the day that we have. Use this day to pursue holiness. The blessings that God gives you, yes, plan properly and use wisely and be good stewards. But there's no sense allowing the fears and frets and anxieties of tomorrow and next week and next month and next year to steal the holiness of today away from us. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul adds to this, beginning at verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. The Lord is at hand. This is not a statement that the Lord is returning soon. This is a statement that the Lord is near. Trust that He is near. Trust that He knows what it is that you need. Our problem, of course, is that most of us believe God knows what we need and will provide what we need. What we're worried about is that His view of our needs is not the standard of living to which we've become accustomed. That's the problem sometimes. I know I have that fear. But what Paul is saying is trust the Lord. He'll take care of us. He is near. He hears. He longs to bless us. Put it in His hands. And don't pick it back up. If we're going to take time to be holy, we're going to have to calm down. Hand those anxieties over to God. Trust that He's going to walk us through them. Whatever happens, He'll be there. Even if the worst future you could possibly imagine were to occur to you, He will be there to walk you through it and bring you to eternity on the other side. Let your calmness be anchored in the Lord's presence, and then we'll be able to take time to be holy. Sing this verse with me, if you would.
Know me.
To be holy. How are you doing at that? We're going to be singing this song again, so you can keep your songbook out or it'll be up on the screen. I hope in doing so, it'll be something that reminds us of what we've recognized. But we do need to back up. This morning has obviously been to people who are already in Jesus Christ, reminding us to take time to be holy, to sow the seeds and habits and disciplines of holiness, to slow down and step out of the rat race to pursue this holiness, to wait for the Lord, and to calm down, trusting in the Lord to care for us. But you know, the reality is you can make time for some spiritual disciplines and you can slow down and you can say from now on, I'm only ever going to do what this says in my life. And you know, I'm even just going to calm down. This is going to be great. I'm going to drink a cup of tea before I go to bed every night. It's going to be wonderful. You can do all of that and you can still die and go to hell. Because remember where we started. There's no amount of good things that you can do that will pay for the sins that have been committed. And so before any of this works and helps in pursuing holiness, you've got to be in Jesus Christ. Only those who are in Christ can pursue holiness like this. Jesus said, "He that believes and is baptized will be saved." That is, only he that believes and is baptized will be healed, will be made whole. The redemption that Jesus purchased by his blood, that's the only place you can find it. Can we encourage you this morning? If you long for holiness, take that first step and enter Jesus Christ so that you are then free to take time to be holy. If you need help from the congregation, whether it's to enter Christ or to return to Christ or to continue or to have prayers, if we can help you at this time, won't you come forward right now as we remind ourselves again to take time to be holy?